tradition in the church, maybe Christmas. But I suspect this one's better. Yeah, scratch all that. All right. On the first day of the week, chapter 24. So this message is about 1 week later. What happened 1 week later? Okay. Remember the first Sunday he came into town? Everybody thought, you know, hey, he's going to be king. Jesus is going to be a political leader. He's going to set people free. And everybody was excited about that. To have a king is great. But he actually disappointed everybody. Instead of being a king, he keeled over. He's dead. Finished. Have you ever had that happen to you? Big expectations, high, you know. Hey, I'm going to amount to something. I'm going to do this. I'm going to accomplish this. And then all of a sudden, it all collapses. Isn't that funny? That's a disillusionment. People become disillusioned. My God, I thought he was going to amount to something. Look what happened. The guy came into town. The whole world was in his hand. You could see all his enemies were cowering. It's like, shoo, lunch program's over. This thing is finished. It's in the tank. And all the Jewish leaders didn't know what to do. They had no clue as to how to defeat this guy. He's a nobody. Just came out of nowhere. Made all these big claims, you know, told about God, walked on water, did a bunch of fancy stuff, and everybody thought, man, this is the guy. How many would like to have a Jesus like that? You get a headache, he touches you, you know, you're out of money, he pulls it out of a fish's mouth. I mean, you know, this guy's good. This guy was good. So he had the whole world in his hands. You ever been there? You ever been there where, you know, you thought, you know what? I've pretty much got this thing made. Then a few days later, that same group, fickle as all get out, not like us, but I mean fickle people, they say, crucify him. And all of a sudden, the guy goes down the drain. You know, it's amazing to me how a political contest can so quickly turn. Isn't that amazing? All of a sudden, everybody's rooting for you. Everybody's excited. Hosanna to the Son of David. Well, he came to be the king of the whole world. And his own people rejected him. I mean, that's it. When you're done in by your own people betray you, your own people deny you, your own people abandon you, that's bad. Amen? You ever had that? Your closest associates, they don't believe in you anymore? It's happened to me many times. I love it. That is exciting. That is proof right there whether you've got anything going for you. Are you willing to be weak, vulnerable, naked, you know, have people misunderstand you. You know, you try, let me explain. They don't want to hear it. You're nothing. Get out. You know, and people don't want, you know, when you're down, people don't, you know, they don't just walk by, they kick you. He's down. Let's get him. Do y'all understand? That's delicious. When someone is down and they've been a big shot and they've been, you know, kind of lifted up and then they get down, you know, too bad. And everybody delights in that kind of thing. So anyway, Jesus was, you know, he was touted to be something. Even God seemed to like him. I mean, whatever he did worked. He had water one time, turned into wine. Another time they were rowing the boat and it was at the land immediately. And I mean, this guy could pull off signs, wonders, miracles. Amen? So a pattern is set up in the life of Jesus that you may not like. So I'm going to talk about that today. Because it's actually a really neat pattern. If you catch on to this pattern, it'll work for you. The pattern is that when God shows up, when he's present, and he begins to declare who he is, if he follows it with power right away, if he follows it with, you know, I did the deal, people believe in him. People think, well, he kept his word. You know, he said he was going to do this, and he said he was going to do that, and he did it. But if you follow his claim, his presence. He shows up, makes this claim with great authority. I know what I'm talking about. And then all hell breaks loose. Suddenly the whole thing falls apart and the guy ends up in the tank. It's like you got to expect resistance. Do y'all know that? Whenever you do something, just for yourself, for God, doesn't matter what it is, whenever you do something, there'll be resistance. Somehow, every time, it has to be tested. So if God postpones, because God's up in the heavens, you see, he could at any time interject, you know, and make the guy win. But he's up there, you know, pulling all the strings. And if he doesn't follow what I just said or what I just committed to with power, with some kind of action, with some kind of, you know, public, visible result that people can grasp and understand, then you suffer. And you're thinking to yourself, wow, I mean, everybody was for me being king. Now it seems like I don't have any followers. And all his followers are bad. Have you ever done that to Jesus? You know, said, I'm for you. I'm going to go all the way, I mean, to the bitter end. And then all of a sudden a little trial comes up, a little distraction, a family problem, a financial problem, a relational problem, a health problem, you know, something. It just comes up and it's kind of a stone, a heavy stone laid over everything you're doing. Well, Jesus was in the tomb. See, he was under this heavy stone. And he was inside this kind of like cave thing. And he's in there. I'll draw a little picture here of his bench. He's in that bench in there. And you can walk in through this door and you can see the guy laying there. But there was a big stone over it. So you really couldn't see into the little cave where he was tombed up. Because the last thing that happened, if he was on a cross, they took him down, wrapped him up, time ran out, threw him in there, wrapped a little cloth around him, forgot to anoint him or anything. So those ladies that were there, there was a whole bunch of ladies that were there, and they were thinking, you know, tomorrow is Sabbath day, so we can't do anything on that day. It's a day of rest. We'll just have to leave Jesus rot a little while. And then on Sunday morning, we'll take spices. You know, so they all brought some spices and some anointing oil and so on and so forth. Because the guy had been betrayed by Judas. Remember that? Judas is one of his followers. Another guy denied him, Peter. Remember that? Peter said, I don't even know the guy. I mean, I don't even know the guy. No, no, weren't you one of his associates? Didn't you work with him? No. I mean, no. I don't even know the man. This is his best friend, Peter. I mean, no, Peter, this is the fisherman, didn't they write a book on him? You know, it's a great guy. But sometimes your greatest friends turn out to be, betrayers, deniers. And the other 10 just abandoned him. I mean, they just took off. When they saw what happened to, you know, Jesus, they thought, oh, my God, this thing may not be working out too good. Has that ever happened to y'all? If you can't identify with this, you're not going to understand the story. This is good. To be able to go, and you got the world. Remember, a week earlier. This is 1 week later. One week later. So let's see what happens on resurrection morning. But this week is an interesting week. Because here, he's announced, I'll make a little castle here. He's announced to be king. He's coming into the city, going through that gate. All his followers are there with palm branches, Palm Sunday, you know, so on and so forth. And the leaders are up here thinking to themselves, oh my God. You know, the whole world's gone after him. There are probably 1 million or 2 million people out there. Just, you know, all kinds of people. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hey, the king has come. Our hopes. Finally, we got somebody we can believe in. Wouldn't that be great to have somebody reliable, somebody you could believe in, somebody who's doing something decent for once? Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be amazing? I mean, that would be amazing to have a husband that was reliable. Would that be a wonder or what? To have somebody, a pastor, you know, somebody who's offering you something good that's really real. I mean, it's the real thing. And so Jesus came into town. Everybody hailed him. It was exciting. And then, you know, for 4 days he's teaching in the temple. And then all of a sudden he eats this supper. And I don't know what was in it, but something happened. And the guy's dead a few hours later. He's hanging on a cross. And claims it was for your sins, so apparently all my sins are gone now. And so when he hung on that cross, he said, you know, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And he's hanging up there, and then pretty soon the guy's dead, and it's over. I mean, when it's over, it's over. So let's just draw a really sharp line right there. It's over. And then when you're actually buried, it's even more over. I mean, that's over. It is really finished. And so everything looks grim, and the ladies are coming not to seek life. They're coming to minister to the dead, right? You know, people will come to you and say, I'm sorry your husband died, or I'm sorry, you know, things have fallen apart. I'm sorry you lost your business, or I'm sorry that deal didn't go through. I'm sorry that relationship didn't work, or your marriage failed. I'm sorry. You know, they kind of sympathize with you because you're a loser now. You're sad. They liked you. That's just you're a nice person. And so they're coming to help Jesus out, the poor guy. He started out great. He was going to be the king of the world. I mean, right there, they thought, my God, even Pilate, you know, I mean, there's nothing. Everybody just sit back. This guy's going to take over. He has such a following. He got 2 million people right away. That's a pretty good voter base. That's a good base. Maybe there were 3 million people. This is a big holiday, a big festival. Now, I'm sure God had a lot of people there to watch him go from top to bottom, you know, where he was going to be something great. Now, you as a believer, would you have betrayed him? How many? Let's see a show of hands. Would you have denied him? Would you have abandoned him? Especially when you see the guy getting beat and whipped and nobody coming to his aid and even God not helping out. You know, I mean, God, the Father, he must have been playing checkers or something. He's over here. He's not even looking. Oh, there's my boy. He's getting killed. He didn't even want to look. He's just looking over here. Isn't that amazing? Like, God, pay attention. You know what I'm saying? You ever be in trouble like that? And God, come on. I mean, I don't care about the sin stuff. Just help out here. I'll worship you later. So sometimes God doesn't take advantage of those little yells and cries and screams, right? I mean, when you call out to God, he'll answer sooner or later. Somebody, I want it now. How many want it now? I mean, when you're in trouble, it's like, fix it. Could you fix it now? Otherwise, I'm all right. I'm not going to follow you. Okay, you've had it. I'm going to punish you from now on. Has anybody ever done that to God? Punished him for not coming through. Made all these big promises, big deals, and then he flubs up right at the end. I mean, here's this guy who waited thousands of years for Jesus to come. It all comes to an end right there. Then the guy's in the tomb. There's no hope, and it's finished. And people are kind of depressed, especially those that were true believers. Have you ever been a true believer in something? And it didn't happen. Been disappointed, disillusioned, want to quit? You just say to yourself something like this, I quit. That's it. I'm not trusting people anymore. I'm not going to do any more deals. That's it. I'm finished. Has ever been there? I'm just sick of relationships that don't work. People that don't recognize how great I am. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it can be discouraging. People that say they're my friend when they're not. You know, it just discourages you. It makes you ticked off and mad. It'll bring out your sin if you almost got rid of most of it. It'll bring it out again. Has anybody ever experienced that? I mean, there's some things that have just gone too far. Well, anyway, here was Jesus, the hope of the world, and the guy's dead. And all of a sudden, Satan wins, the world wins, the flesh wins, everything wins, and Jesus loses. And now there's no hope. I mean, it's one thing to have theories, but when you get down to reality, the guy's dead. It's over. You know, they saw him die, and they wept and cried, but it didn't do any good. And so early in the morning, that's what we're going to read right now. Early in the morning, the women got up not to find Jesus alive. They didn't give one flip about his word. Remember, he gave his word. Remember, he said, here's his presence. Presence. Here's his presence. He showed up. So you think something good's going to happen. He speaks a word. Gives some authority. You know, this is from God word. I'm going to give authority. And then he doesn't follow it up with power. Something happens in between word and deed. You know, so when you give your word, you ought to follow it up with, you know, doing it. There ought to be a promise and then a fulfillment. Right? There ought to be, you know, I said this, I heard the guy, he said these great words, I believed in those words, and then nothing. And so in the middle here comes this fire. This kind of trouble, difficulty, little fire here to burn up all my hope, and I begin to suffer. I don't like suffering. I'm not into suffering. So I think suffering is a bad deal, especially when it leads to kind of like end, finish, death. So how many know that is the part of Christianity nobody wants to hear about? I mean, who wants to hear about that part? You know, today we're not here for Good Friday. The Catholics used to do that, Good Friday thing. But we Protestants skip that part, you know. Forget that dead Jesus on a cross thing. Let's get the resurrected guy. Let's get the good news right here. Here's the good news right here. Jesus was, I thought he was king here, but it was something wrong. So he ended up not being the king of the world. big public thing. He ended up just being the king of the church, you know, because only church people believe in this, right? Remember when he came back from the dead, he didn't even show himself to Pilate. He didn't even show himself to Caiaphas. He didn't even show himself to the world. He just showed himself to a handful of believers. A bunch of rubes and bumpkins. They weren't even educated. You know, they probably didn't have $50 between them. You know, it's just, he just came to a bunch of losers. How many know that losers will buy anything? You know, they just look for anything. They'll just fall for anything. There were just gullible people, and a lot of them were women. A lot of them were women. I'm sorry. Women fall for stuff. Just think of all the women that are married. They fall for stuff. I'm just telling you, there's something wrong. Amen. Have you ever noticed that? You ever noticed that how many women get married? Thinking to themselves, you know, I got a man of God. And then he turns out just to be a man. Then he turns out to be a devil. You know, has anybody ever discovered that? You just want to slap him, you know, for deceiving you. Because you were innocent, you were pure, you gave yourself 100% to the man. And the man betrayed you. He denied you. You know, he didn't stick. You know, he didn't at all even appreciate you. Does anybody notice that? All his words came to nothing. I will love you to death us do part. And within a week, he's got an affair. You know, he's off playing golf. You know, he's doing something. He's not paying attention. Does anybody notice that? Not even paying attention to the kids. I mean, he's not doing zip. Does anybody notice that kind of thing in life? So there's a gap here. They say between the lip and the cup. There's something wrong here between what the guy said and then what happened to prove it, the proof. You know, when he rose from the dead, I mean, that's pretty exciting. Except that only the believers believed it. The others didn't believe that. Even the soldiers who were at the tomb and they paid him and so on and so forth. Yeah, they saw it, but they didn't see Jesus. They didn't see Jesus risen. They saw some funny things, but it wasn't Jesus. And Mary got all messed up. She thought it was the gardener and all this kind of stuff. So only the believers saw him. And you know, Mary was, you know, kind of a woman of ill repute. She had demons all over her. Amen? None of our ladies have that. Amen? Do any of our ladies have that? You know, thank God we don't have demonic women. Thank God. Now, are there any here? I'm just asking. If you know you're demonic, please just speak up. We have them in this church. We got demonic women right in this church. I mean, they'll just come right out at you like that. You just never know when they're going to get you. I see some of the guys smiling. So, but you know, you don't know what to do. So Jesus, it sets up this pattern. He shows up. Here he is suddenly in the world. God sent him into the world to give good news. He gives the good news. Everybody's believing in the guy. All of a sudden, he's dead. And there's no deed. There's no resurrection. And then a few days later, okay, he jumps up and everybody's happy again. But the truth is, that's very fickle on your part. One minute, Hosanna to the Son of David. Next minute, crucify him. Next minute, I believe in Jesus. I mean, isn't that a little weird? That is kind of emotional up and down. What a week. What a week. How's your life? Stable, steady, always the same, always committed, you know, confident. Live by faith. See, when you have only the word, all you've got then, all you have then is faith. Because you don't have any proof. You don't have anything to go on. It's just faith. How many know that's the basis of our faith, is faith. I mean, it's just faith. It means you're not any good. And you're believing someone else was good, but here's this good guy and he's dead. This good guy who said, you know, I'm the king of the world and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and all authority and blah, blah, blah. But you know, what did he really do? He did nothing. He's dead. And then a few days later. So you have to see this. Why did he have to go through this? Sudden death. Let's draw a cross there. Why did he have to go through the cross in order to get to the resurrection? And why do you? Because who cares about Jesus? We're talking about you. We're not really talking about Jesus. We're talking about the same pattern in your life. Why do you have to go through all kinds of hell in order to get anywhere? Does anybody know? To learn to give up? Yeah, that's one thing. To what? To be refined? Okay, that's cool. What else?
Surrender.
To surrender? To quit? To give up? What are you going to surrender when you surrender, quit, give up? Yeah, yourself. It's not your dead body. Jesus died physically. But it isn't the physical death God is after. He doesn't want your physical death. That won't help him. What he wants is your psychological personality, your personality, your person, yourself. He just wants you to relax. And here's what he wants you to do. Worship him. He just wants you to, you know, fall in love with him. And that's all, just a personal relationship. He's not after stories about Jesus rising from the dead. He's after you trusting him. Trusting him. Here the guy comes. He speaks a bunch of words. And he says they're from God. And he speaks it with authority. And then you believe in him and trust him to the death. Even if you have to go through this to get to this. Even after you go through this to get to this. You have to go through this. How many would like to avoid one of this? That was the devil. He came along and said to Jesus, hey, look, I'll tell you what. You want to be king? You want to be a great power in the earth? You want to put on the crown? I'll tell you what. Skip the cross. All you got to do is bow down and worship me. Skip the God thing. Just go straight to me. Worship me. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Don't even have to work for them. I'll give you everything. I'll give you church. I'll give you state. I'll give you money. I'll give you power. I'll give you everything. What more do you want? Wouldn't you love to be popular? Wouldn't you like it when people understood you? Don't you like being understood? Don't you hate it when people don't get it? Like, what's wrong with you? Don't you feel that way? It's like, is everybody dense? Am I the only one that's clear? Have you ever thought that? Am I the only one that sees anything, that knows anything, can judge a thing quickly? I mean, golly, are people dumb or what? I mean, other people. Not myself. But aren't other people dumb? Has anybody noticed that other people are dumb? And they underestimate you. That shows how dumb they are. They underestimate how important you are. Has anybody noticed that? Has anybody figured that out? It's so easy to judge other people. Amen? It's easy to see their faults, their weaknesses, their foibles, and then not forgive them. I mean, hold it against them. I mean, right now you're all sitting in church and you're nice. But, you know, get out of church for a few minutes and get into some of your relationships that you're in. There are people around you that you just are disgusted with. You're disappointed in. You're hurt over. Am I right or what? Am I right? I mean, there are just some people that, for criminy sakes, you ought to just shake them. What is wrong with you? You know, get a clue. And people are just, they aren't growable. They aren't educable. They're just, they don't like to be taught. As I said before, they're just kind of gullible. And they'll fall for superficial things. You know, you're trying to tell them the truth, and they're going to believe some silly, shallow, cheap lie. You ever notice that? I mean, the whole political thing is all just sound bites. So-and-so is for the war. So-and-so hates the war. So-and-so is for the... You know, just soundbite stuff. Doesn't mean a hill of beans. But that's how you get elected, because, you know, a lot of voters are emotional. Right? They're just emotional. He's handsome. I'll vote for him. She's cute. I'll vote for her. Now, Hillary has a problem. Because she had to have those chin things and, you know, all that other stuff to kind of fix herself up. But, you know, if you look at her two times in a row, you can see the bags one time. The next time, there are no bags. I don't know how they do that. That is cool. That is cool. But she almost, you know, she's kind of attractive, and she's kind of, you know, she looks kind of nice right there. Then the next time you see her, big bags under her eyes, whoa, she forgot to put on whatever it is you put on or do. I don't know what you do. I don't know how they do that. But she has outgrown her time. See, Obama's younger, and he's with the next generation, not the baby boomers. Do you understand that? Her day is over. So with all her power and with all her strength and with all her whatever, she's at a disadvantage now because she's outgrown her time. Do you all understand it? Bill is no longer, you know, whatever. So it just didn't work. The magic didn't work. The power didn't work. Right? So it kind of boils down after a while to just, you know, normal human kind of stuff. But, you know, then you got the race thing. Then you got the gender thing. Then you got the, you know, war hawk thing. And you got all this stuff. You follow me? So people trade on that. They know, hey, that's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. Play on that stuff. That's how to build a church. If I wanted to have 5,000 members, 10,000 members, all I got to do is figure out what it is that markets well and market it. This is not one of those things. You don't want to market this. So therefore, I just want you to know today, that's what I'm marketing right there. That's what I'm marketing. I expect a real drop-off next week. It's okay. It's okay. People don't want truth. You know, just say, you know, itchy things that itch my ears. You know, say stuff I like to hear. Tell me how nice I am. Don't tell me what a scoundrel I am. Don't tell me what a liar I am, how shallow I am, how despicable I am. Tell me how despicable my husband is. That's what I've been trying to say anyway. You know, just tell me those kind of things. Amen? Are you all following? You all following? All right. Does this lead to happiness? Does this lead to happiness? Is this the way to happiness? Believe, then go through all kinds of hell, and then finally see it when God gets around to it. Does that lead to happiness? You know, could you have a smiley face after that? I mean, everybody's excited on Resurrection Sunday, and you want that kind of a message. But I'll tell you, it doesn't mean anything unless you realize how he got there, because it's going to be the pattern for your life. I could give you an illusion. I could just lie to you and tell you how wonderful it is, you know, God's word. You believe in Jesus, everything goes well. Your marriage works, your business works, your health works, everything goes well. Happiness forever and ever. You know, that's what people want to hear, and that's why they come on Christmas and then, you know, get those little lamb things and, you know, little town of Bethlehem, fuzzy little things. And that's cute. So that's what they like is, hey, tell me something nice. Kids even like it. They have little kid programs. Today they have one in Fort Worth, a little kid program on, I don't know on what, whatever it's going to be. But it'll be great. They'll just get up there and some will be poking their nose and so on. And it'll be cute. It'll be cute. And I love those kind of things. I just love those kind of things. It's just, you know, it's worth the whole day. Especially if it's your kid. You know, it's one of your kids. Hey, look at Junior. You know, and you know, a lot of the kids are not singing. They're just sitting there like this and others are, you know, and they don't know what to do. You know, most of those kids didn't really learn their lines and so on. Amen? See, that's real life. That's real life. So there's always this kind of thing that things don't work out the way I want them to. And God seems to be into that. He seems to deliberately take you from here, and then instead of helping out, guy's supposed to be good, but instead of helping out, he introduces all this stuff. What's this for? Why does there have to be that interruption? Amen. Have you experienced that in your own life? You're going along and you're finally going to be decent. And then you'd think God will kind of help out and kind of, you know, like, hey, I'm appreciating what you're doing now. You know, he'd kind of like encourage you a little bit by a little help. Hey, God, you know, I'm reading the Bible, going to church and being a little nicer at work and stuff. Could you please fix my husband or kill him? I mean, I'm just saying, couldn't you do something? You know what I mean? I mean, you just wonder, why don't you help out when I'm cooperating? Do y'all see that? See, God is into this right here, your death. You said surrender. Surrender means I don't have a will of my own anymore. I don't have a personality. I subordinate my person to his. I subordinate my life to his. I go where he wants me to go. I say what he wants me to say. I do what he wants me to do. How many know that will be hell? There'll be hell. Man, why would I want to do that? Why do that? Why put up with that? Why rejoice in a bad situation? I mean, I could, but I don't want to. You know, why sing here? I don't mind singing here. You know, that's a nice place to sing. But why would I want to sing here? I don't want to sing there. But how many know that that's more common than the other? You got a lot more problems than you have. I mean, every day when you wake up, there's a new one. Right? Something goes wrong. The doorbell doesn't work. Something goes wrong. And it's, you know, it's a big deal. Hey, where's the toothpaste? You know, something goes wrong. You know, maybe the IRS audits you that day. Or, you know, you don't know what'll go wrong. You're being sued by somebody and your whole business could go down the drain. And those things can happen. You know, your wife runs off with somebody. Your husband is, you know, having an affair and you didn't know about it. These kind of things happen. And you got to kind of take the good with the bad and say, hallelujah. Well, glory to God. People hate my guts. I'll tell you, thank you, Jesus. Because it would be a good time right now for me to draw close to you and have a great time. And in the fire, it's just kind of like all your flesh burns up. And, you know, you just go like, you know, who cares? Jesus loves me. I'm just going to live by his word. Because when you're here, you don't need to live by his word. You got the deed. You got the fact. You got some kind of, it shows up. But here, I got to just go through the thing and hope he's there. Jesus, are you still there? Yeah, turn the fire up.
You don't know. Turn it off.
He's not. He doesn't answer those. You know, I've told him, fix things up. If you want any followers, you want anyone that could brag on you, boast on you, do something. How many know that Jesus won't do it? He's not cooperative. Yeah, you're up there in heaven. I remember your little story, but it's not helping here. I'm glad for this, but let's have a little of this power. Resurrection power is what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for this right here. I hate this kind of thing. And I don't want to go too long on this faith thing. I want a little, you know, follow through on that. I want you to come through. I want you to keep your word. You gave your word, now keep it. And I don't like waiting so long like this. This wait is not helping. It's not making me, you know, praise you and worship you. It's making me get angry. I'm angry. All right, I'm angry. And could you come through? All right, I'll give you 3 more days. But that's it. You know, and have you ever found out that God won't do that? Because he's after your what? He's after your death. Not physical, psychological. Relax, rest, be at peace, enjoy yourself. In the midst of this chaotic world, do you realize that God is totally in charge of everything that happens? He's the one that turns the fire up and down. He's the one that makes resurrections or deaths. He does it all, and you can just trust him because he's on your side. You couldn't possibly lose. That's why you could worship God in the furnace. The Jewish people are going to be in the furnace. They're already in the furnace. But they're going to be in the furnace for a long time. They're not going to just get out quickly. And it isn't just because of Al-Qaeda and Hamas and so on and so forth. It's because God is trying to, you know, show them that he loves them. So he turns the heat up. God says, you know, hey, we need some more Al-Qaeda guys. And so he just, you know, fixes the fire up big time because he loves you. The father that loves his son chastens him. If he loves you, you get problems in your life. How many know the scripture that says, when you face various troubles, trials, temptations, and tests, rejoice. The Father loves you. How many know that sounds cool in the Bible, but when you have it in your own life, it's not cool. That is not a good word. Is why would I praise God here? I mean, he gave his word. Why doesn't he keep it? I'm ticked at him. I'm mad at him. And that was 2,000 years ago, by the way. I mean, you know, like, time to do something. Don't you think it's time for a revival or something wonderful? I mean, like, do something good? Wouldn't you like that in your own life, personally? I mean, why wait for the next generation to get it? Why didn't it happen now? Let's have it happen in my marriage, in my business, in my family, in my body, in my life. Let's have it happen to me personally. Is God personal? Is God personal? Did Jesus Christ, when he went through this thing here, where he died, did he have a personal relationship with his Father? Was he really confident? Was he trusting him? Because when he saw that he lost everything and everyone and everything he had built up for 33 years, phew, gone. Bank account, zero. You know, friendship, zero. Everything came to zero. The church was against him. The state was against him. The people hated his guts. They wanted to crucify him. I tell you what, that is a grim picture. How are you going to get your reputation back, your name back? You know, the guy, they even told him when he was on the cross, Jesus, look, just come down right now and we'll all worship you. All he had to do with all the power he's got. Come on. You claim to be God's son? All right, I'll tell you what, we'll believe in you. All you got to do, jump down and we'll believe in you. He could have done it 3 days earlier instead of waiting another 3 days for all that agony and darkness and stuff. He could have avoided the cross. They offered it to him right there. He was on the cross. He could have got off. How many know that he has the power of God? All he had to do is call on God. God, why are you forsaking me? Come here, help me now. I'm in trouble. Trouble. Double trouble. Triple trouble. The only a few followers here left. Hi, Mom. His mom was still there. Praise God for his mom, huh? Sometimes the only person you have left is your mom. I mean, nobody else likes you because they pretty much have figured you out. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they don't like you anymore because they know too much about you. And you're just not likable. How many are not likable? I mean, don't raise your hand. But I'm just saying, you actually agree with everybody. You know, it's like, well, I am a loser. I mean, I don't blame people for being in relationship with me and then discovering who I really am and then abandoning me, betraying me. But Jesus was a cool guy. He was neat. He knew that the Father loved him, and the Father sends him through this death thing. Like, you know, he's perfect. Why does he have to go through death? Why did he go through death? Everybody knows the answer. Why did he go through death? Why did he go through death? Why?
To be the sacrificial lamb.
Right, to be the Lamb of God instead of the lion. Here he's a lion. Here he jumped up from the dead, so he's a powerful guy. But here he's just a lamb. You know, he does it for somebody. I don't know who he's doing it for. Who is he doing it for? Why is he a lamb? Because he feels you have a lot of sin in you. And you think, well, my sin was in my heart, so he gave me a new heart, so I'm okay now. Well, what about the sin in your soul? What about the sin in your life? What about what a rotten person you are? Amen. Okay, Linda knows she's rotten. Who else? Who else? You know you're rotten? You know you're rotten too? No. Yeah, that's cool. Anybody else? I got three. Four? 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, going 14, oh, 14, 15, 16. I'm almost getting everybody. Come on, let's see what happens here. Everybody raise their hand at once, you know, because we're all rotten to the core. You are never going to be good. You are not good. You never were good, and you never will be good.
It makes repentance sincere.
Yeah, it does. Because it could be a daily thing rather than a one-time thing. Like, well, one time I repented and got into the kingdom of God and I'm okay now. No, you're not. You're still the same person. You have a new heart, yes. But you don't have a new soul. Its soul has to die, not fix up. Everybody's trying to fix up their soul. It's not fixing. Your soul's not fixing. All you're doing is lying better. You're not fixing it. The only way you can fix it is kill it. And you can't even do that. You cannot even kill yourself. Did you know that you can't even kill yourself? But you can go through one of these fires that God fixes up. These are one God's little fire things. And that fixes it up, and it just totally decimates you, embarrasses you, destroys you, until you have no hope in yourself. And your only hope and your only joy is Jesus. Have you ever been in that situation where you had nothing going for you except Jesus? Everybody had abandoned you. Everybody betrayed you. Nobody wanted to loan you money. Nobody wanted to be with you. Nobody, you know, you had nothing. You ever been in that situation? That's a good place to be. Because then you realize I have no confidence in the flesh. Because God hates sin. God hates sin. I didn't say he hated you. I just said he hates your sin. Hates what you did. Hates what you're thinking, feeling, so on and so forth. So God hates all that. And so he sends you through the fire in order to burn up the flesh. He just wants to burn it up. That's why Jesus was a burnt offering. It burns up flesh. Burn up your flesh. In other words, your confidence in yourself. Your self-confidence. Everybody's trying to not, you know, I want to like myself. No. No, don't like yourself. What's there to like? What's there to like? Why fool other people into thinking you're better or you could be better or you might be better in the future? You're no good and you'd always be no good. Okay, I'll give you the scripture because you're not amening. It means you're not really with this. You were no good, you are no good, you will never be good, even in heaven. You will never be good. Did you hear me? Okay, I'll quote the scriptures. God is good. Everybody agrees with that. Only God is good. Now, the word only excludes everyone else. Did you see that? And then, none is good but God. Now, that put it negative, now put it positive. Only God is good. None is good but God. I mean, that's kind of clear. So, and you're wicked as all get out. Did you know that? Now, even if you have a new heart, okay, I'm born again, the righteousness of Christ. Okay, goody, goody, goody. But you know what? Nobody sees that. Nobody knows that. You could actually come to church today hypocritically. I mean, some of you might not be really radiant, you know, excited about Jesus. But maybe in your heart you're rejoicing, but in your soul, you're still sleeping, you're still miserable, you're still contentious, you're still griping, you're still complaining, you're still not rejoicing all the time. Amen? So you have to go through these fires that help you to be completely dead to yourself so that you rejoice all the time, even in the fires, without noticing. You know, it's like, it doesn't matter if I'm here or here. It doesn't matter where I am. I just go by His Word. I'm totally happy just by His word. I don't need this to follow this in order to be happy. I can be happy here. There's the secret. There's the key. Was Jesus depressed? You know, a lot of people think He was. He wasn't. Remember when they hauled Him away and they were going to beat Him? He said, okay, guys, they're hauling me away right now, but I want you to know something, that your joy might be full like mine. I hope you have the same joy I have. And he knows what's going to happen. He's read the script. They're going to beat the tar on Him all night long, keep Him up, you know, spit on Him, everything they can possibly do, naked Him, everything. He's raw. He's naked. Have you ever been raw, naked in front of everybody? You lost your reputation. You look bad. You've been violated. Has that ever happened to you? You ever feared that would happen to you? Because if God loves you, He will send you through this until that happens to you. So you're completely violated in every single way so that you learn to rejoice in God totally by faith. Your flesh can't do that. Your flesh cannot do that. Would anyone like to have that happen to him? To be completely destroyed and completely embarrassed and completely naked before the whole world? Anyone like that? Dan? That's foolish. Anyone else? Anyone else? I mean, there's no flesh that's going to agree to that. Dan, you have no idea what you just said. Oh, you've already been through the fire a few times. Well, praise God. How'd you like it? It's hell, isn't it?
He loved it.
He loved it. You know why? Because Dan is freer now, having gone through the fire umpteen times. You don't go through once, by the way. You have to go through sevenfold. You have to go over and over and over and over until you're dead. And it takes seven times. Nobody can just go through one experience. Well, this is killing me. No, that's just one. You just started.
I don't think I can take anymore.
Yeah, well, that's right. And we're going to get to the point where you won't even say that. You won't even say that. You just go ahead. Doesn't matter. And then you're going to go through the point where you go, praise God, hallelujah, this is nothing. Hey, now you've been cooked really good. When Jesus went through, what happened to him? What happened to Jesus when he got inside that tomb? Well, the ladies came looking for a dead man. They thought, let's help the boy out. The poor guy, he's dead. At least thing we can do is, you know, take off his wrappings or, you know, put some anointment and some smelly nice things on him and a little oil on him and, you know, fix him up a little bit. Give him the treatment that he deserves. After all, he almost was king. He said he was Savior, but I guess he's dead now. So Savior's out, King is out, pretty much everything. Savior and Lord, guy's finished. So unless he rises from the dead, and nobody believed. Even the women, when they finally saw him. Remember Mary Magdalene grabbed a hold of his feet and, Jesus, I can't believe it's you. Hey, just stay with us. I gotta ascend to my Father. Will you let go of my feet, please? And you know, that woman is strong. That is a strong woman. Probably 98 pounds. She's just holding him down and Jesus is trying to fly up. Trying to ascend. And she wouldn't let him go. You all see that? So those women had a hold of him and they wouldn't let him go. Jesus, we love you so much. How many know they were phonies? They were phonies. Fake. Even though they'd seen him, the only reason they rejoiced because they saw him. They saw his presence, heard his word, and then the power. That's why they worshiped. That's why they believed. Anybody can do that. Anybody can do that. So they went back, told the other disciples, Jesus is alive. Uh-huh. No, I'm serious. I mean it. Tell her, Mary, yeah, he's alive. We saw him. We held his feet. He was trying to flutter up, and we kept him down. Wow. Well, okay, well, I'll check it out, because you know you can't trust women. I mean, you know, the women are emotional. They go way off. You know, we're saying a fact, and they're thinking emotion. You know, like I say, Peg, do you see this whiteboard right here? I want you to get this. Why have you never loved me? I said, this whiteboard, get it. And she's on to some other topic. How did she transfer from my factual statement to her emotional one? You've always hated me. I just said, this board is white. Don't you agree? You have never loved me. I can't believe it. We are not communicating. Have you ever noticed that with men and women? It doesn't happen men and men. Men and men, they communicate. Shoot, You know, that's it. You know, men and men understand, you know, but women and men, they can't communicate. Have you ever noticed that? All I said was, why is the toast burned? And then you said, you know, and so on. It's like, you cannot reason with a woman. Has anybody noticed that? I don't know why. You just cannot. They have no brains. They're not thinking at all like us men. We're thinking clearly. I could talk to any man. He'd understand me immediately. But a woman wouldn't understand me. You know, she's on to something else. And I can never figure, Peg, what are you talking about? I'm just talking about whiteboard. Why are you talking about a relationship and something that happened 15 years ago? And she's got the details down. Isn't that funny? We are different. How many know we are different? I don't know why God has the male-female thing. I understand the lesbian thing. I understand that. Because women kind of go along with women. They like that. But they get hurt too.
Well, if they didn't think like that, they couldn't like us.
That's true. That's true. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. All right. So God has set it up to you dead, and he doesn't want that to take place in heaven. You don't dead in heaven. You got to do it here. How many know the testing has to take place here? So a lot of you are still complaining, trying to fix your life up, trying to find life in life, and you're not doing it. You're not going to do it. You're never going to find that person that loves you. Did I say something strong there? You're never going to find the person that loves you. You're going to find another imperfect, selfish person that doesn't give one flip for you. Don't care. How many want to marry someone like that? Because that's all there is. That's all there is. People don't love each other. Did you know that? God is love. Not man. God is love. And the only way you can love is to go through this so that when this happens, the love will come forth. Because when this happens, people will worship God only if they've been through this. So here's one, here's two, here's three, then here's four. Then comes worship, and then comes deeds. After you're dead, then deeds, all those deeds that are not your deeds, but are deeds wrought in God. Did you see that? So here's what we're looking for, but you can't get it because you didn't want to go through this. A little slight, small imperfection in your formula. You can't go from one, two, to three. You got to go three up here, then four. So that's what ruined the whole deal. So the women came to the tomb. They had their little anointment things. And they were looking for a dead man. And then they thought, oh my God, there's a stone. That stone is big. It's so big, it's big as this room. This stone is big. It's a huge stone. Who's going to roll it away? It would take, you know, 10 men to move it. How are we four or five ladies going to move this stone? How much do you weigh, Ethel? And then, you know, they're all trying to figure it out. It's, I don't know if we can do it. We can do it. Because women are emotional. We can do it. I'll tell you, we can do it.
They just weren't thinking, were they?
No, they weren't thinking. A man would figure that out right away. I'll leave him in there. We can't move that thing. Okay, so all these women are looking at that thing, and they're just going, who's going to roll the stone away? Now, I'm going to say it differently. Who can take the weight off of my life? Who can remove the problems and the troubles and the difficulties off of my life? What I just said was, God doesn't want to. He wants you to learn to rejoice in his presence with the stone over there. You know, you had a plan. I'm going to serve God, or I'm going to love this person, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. And then some trouble comes up, some Satan thing, some world thing, some flesh thing, some, you know, other people's sin, something. Always disturbs the plans I was making. Plan A always yields to plan B, which is, I don't get plan A. Whatever it is, I don't get plan A. So you have to have plan C that redeems plan A after it turns plan B. Right? So some of you have tried a second marriage. Don't raise your hand. Just try a second deal. You know, well, I threw all my money away in that first deal. Now I'm broke. Well, you have to wait a while then. Because it takes a while to build up again your reputation and your name and so on after you failed once or twice. So you don't want to fail twice in a row. How many have failed twice in a row? And you're working on your third relationship. You're a loser. I mean, just get it. There's a pattern here. And it's not the other person. It's you, the picker. It's not the one you picked. Oh, picked again wrong. Did you ever think it's not the person you're picking, it's the picker? You cannot pick a good person. You cannot pick a good deal. You don't know what you're doing. No, I do. No, you don't. Let God work it out. Hello? Now, you see, if I believe the Word says everything's going my way. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-ay. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Y'all have that attitude? Nothing's going against me. I don't care how much of this happens. Turn it on. Let it come. Amen? How many know that everything that's happening in this world is working for your good? All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Everything. Now, you would be a stronger person if you would live by this word, despising the shame. Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, despised the shame. Do you see that? Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, in other words, he wasn't experiencing it right then, despised the shame. He didn't care about the cross. He just ignored it. No, don't worry about it. Blow it off. What's a problem? What's a trouble? What's a difficulty? God's in charge. See the hand of God. The same God that sent you and the same God that gave you this word is the same God that's going to be with you in the fire, is the same God that's going to raise you from the dead, is the same God you need to worship. That's the God that will change you, transform you into his image and likeness. Amen? You can learn this in business. You can learn this in relationships. You can learn this in health. It doesn't matter what the subject is, this pattern prevails. This pattern where they came and they said, who's going to roll away the stone? And when they got there, it was already rolled away. I mean, they were like, wow, nobody has to do it. Then they had another problem. How many know that when you get one problem solved, you got another one? You got another problem. Not only is the stone rolled away, we went inside and we couldn't find the guy. Not only that, but we saw this big white thing, guy, angel, I guess, or a person or something. And he said he's not here. He's been crucified and dead. He is risen now from the dead. And we don't know where to find him. How many know that a lot of people can't find Jesus? You know, I thought he was here. I thought we killed the guy, nailed him. Now all of a sudden he's up and he's running about, but we can't find him. So Mary, you know, she didn't recognize. Just imagine, 2 days before, 3 days before, he'd been beaten to a pulp. You couldn't even recognize him. His skin was falling off his body. You all aware of that? His organs were coming out of his body because they'd lacerated him so much. Do you all understand that? Now, here he is walking around. It couldn't be him. You can't heal that fast. Just laying there in the tomb one day isn't going to do it. How many know that's not the way? You got to have surgery. You got to have skin graft. It's going to take a while. But here he is, jumped up, looking pretty good. Then he shows him, you know, his hands. Woohoo, it's me. Shows him his hands, forehead, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, he does kind of, you know. And so they could kind of recognize him, but could it really be Jesus? The Jesus we saw a few days ago was all marred up. How many know that God can resurrect you that quickly? All of a sudden, things can be down on the bottom, and if you'll just surrender your life, they can turn right back. Not only that, stronger than ever. You'll come back so powerful, so free, that you will thank God for this time right here. Boy, I'm glad I went through this sevenfold fire, affliction. Israel is going to be purified. Israel will be absolutely purified. Israel is going through hell. Let them go through it. Let them go through it. In fact, how many know that Israel is going to come through shining beautifully? How many know that? I mean, I want to see kind of hands. Israel is going to make it. Therefore, since you believe that, join them. Identify with them. Go there. Send, you know, help. You know, love them. That's really believing. Is, hey, you know what? I know they're going to come through, so I think I'll join them. Because what happens to Israel, if God doesn't keep his word with them, not going to keep his word with you. If he doesn't love them, if he doesn't keep his word about them, that I will restore, not going to keep his word about you. You'll die in vain too. So if you truly believe, you'll identify with what God identifies with. And they don't look pretty today. They don't look that pretty today. They're not looking pretty. The Europeans don't even like them at all. Of course, the Muslims don't like them. But a lot of people don't like them. And so, you know, it's kind of like they're getting what they deserve. And they just, you know, stand at a distance and say, too bad for Jesus, Too bad for the Jews, and that's what people will say to you. With the judgment you judge, you will be judged. So you don't want to see somebody in trouble, your child, your wife, your friend, even your enemy. Help them. Identify with them. Well, I'll get hurt. So what? Why are you worried about hurt? What could go wrong? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Count it all joy when you go through troubles, trials, tribulation. Woo-hoo! Call people up in the church. Hey, the IRS is auditing me today. I just wanted to let you know. Hallelujah. You know, whenever a trouble comes, hey, I broke my arm today. Hey, my apartment's flooded out. Hey, you know, my family's falling apart. Hey, we just had a divorce. Yahoo! You know, and just stop being so serious. You are not able to move that stone. And you can't find Jesus. Because this Jesus who died and then rose again is the one you need to know personally is on your side. He's for you. Therefore, you could live by his presence, which never leaves. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Have you experienced that in your life? You could lose everything in this world and lose nothing because you got Jesus. If you have this pearl of great price, sell everything for it. Let it go. Stop trying to hope your situational fix. Leave the situation alone. Turn your back on your problem. Ignore it. Ignore the economy. Ignore the war. Ignore all that. I don't mean ignore it like don't think about it. I mean like don't dwell on it. It's nothing. Do you believe God or not? Do you believe that you're going to win or not? Do you believe this is next or not? I mean, sooner or later, God's going to have his way because he always has his way, and the devil never gets his way, and he never has and he never will. He has never gotten his way one time. It's your flesh that's in your way. It's your own flesh. And he provided this way here, and you went, no, thank you, I'll go here. No, 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 go here. No, I don't want to. I'm going to go here. How many of you have a stubbornness problem? Let me see a show of hands. I kind of suspicion that. You naughty, naughty people. That is wrong. That is bad. You need to go the right way. Go here and then here. Amen? Thank God I learned that early on. No, it's okay. God knows how stubborn we all are. He's not mad at us for that. He's just simply going to insist on his way that you're going to have to go through here if you want to get to here. That's all. So the sooner you die, the sooner you rise. The sooner you let go, surrender. The sooner you do it. Just like, Lord, I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't need to know. All I know is you're on my side. Go for it. I trust you. I'm going to start worshiping right now. I'm not going to believe in my marriage. I'm not going to believe in my health. I'm not going to believe in the economy. I'm not going to believe in anything. I believe in you. And I believe you cannot do anything evil. I believe everything is working together for my good. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. So this little pattern that Jesus followed through, as soon as he came to nothing, to death, to finish, to over, to the enemy winning and trampling on him, immediately he was laid to rest, didn't do a thing for a whole day, then got up, went to hell and did all kinds of things and came back and so on. Then he jumped up out of the grave and started walking around. But he did not leave his disciples until he showed himself. Did you know that? What happened was he even saw Mary Magdalene, and some say other women, before he saw anybody else. Women were the first one that Jesus went to. Women. He didn't go to the men. The men were unbelievers. How many know that men tend to be unbelievers? I'm not going to buy that. I don't buy that. But women tend, you know, to be more believing because they've been through so many troubles and so on and so forth that men bring on them. I just thought I'd say that. That, you know, they've learned it, you know, well, you know, what can you do? You know, they all seem to be alike. And so, you know, women get, you know, they try to harden themselves. I'm going to be hard and I'm not going to make it through life. I'm not going to trust any man ever. How many women are like that? Not in this church, but I mean in other churches. There are a lot of women that are hard. They're tough. You ain't hurting me ever. And I'm not trusting you either. And a lot of girls who see their fathers be jerks and so on, they think, when I get big, I'm going to get a decent man. No, you won't. You're going to get your father. You're going to marry your father. I'm sorry. You know, that father has ruined you. You know what I'm saying? So you better get used to it. Oh, well, I'll get my turn. I thought I was going to outsmart my mom, but I'll probably marry a jerk just like she did, which is my dad. Okay? All my girls said that. Dad, I'm not going to marry anyone like you. Cool. What you going to get? Oh, I'm going to get somebody that's nice. Go for it. You might want to rethink that later, but, you know, that'd be a good idea. And every time they bring someone home just like me, he you know, lets off gas right in the house and stuff. You know, and it's like, hey, Dad, that's what you did. He yells, he's stupid, and so on and so forth. That's exactly like me. So my girls have married me. Because what do you want, a naive guy? A guy who's, you know, what do you want? Get a guy that's been, you know, like this. Get a guy that's like this. Been through some rough things and still loves the Lord. He's not unrealistic. He's not naive. You have to be wise as a serpent, but innocent as a dove. Amen? That's what you want to find. You don't want a perfect guy. I got to go. Peggy says, I got to go. I got to go. I always do what Peg says. Because I'm the head. I'm the head of the house. When I say we go, what am I going now? Okay, I'm going. Jesus, he rose from the dead. You know why? Because death cannot hold you. And all the suffering in the world, and all the problems in the world, and all the troubles in the world, they cannot stop you from victory. They will not stop you from victory. The best is yet to come in your life. If you don't believe it, I can't help you. Because this word is so high, this authority is so strong, and your faith must be equal to what he has said without this. This is where your faith is proven, tested. Not this. 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 So pray, hey God, send me through the furnace, send me through the fire until my personality is completely dead. Till I want what you want, do what you do, and so on and so forth. And I will worship you and praise you in the midst of my problems. Then when the troubles go away, which they will, by the way, they're never permanent. They're never permanent. They're not permanent. You make them permanent. It's your decision. Don't. They're temporary. They just go away. Start laughing and rejoicing. One reason people don't want to be around you is because you're miserable. You know, people notice that. They can see you're not optimistic. You're not confident. What if you went by his word no matter what and you were confident here? Then of course you'll be confident here because God is now, you know, confirming your word and having gone through the faith, you don't even care. You know, when you get to here and you're dead, you don't even care about this. Then it just comes. You don't even care about it. It's not important. But it's important to others to see that God will vindicate you here. He never intended for you to be miserable and downcast, depressed and sad, going up and down like a yo-yo all the time. He wanted you to be steady, worshiping him day in and day out. Your mouth was made for praise. Hallelujah. Wherever you go, rejoice. If something bad happens, hallelujah. If something good happens, praise the Lord. It's the same. That is power. That's the resurrection power that lays behind that stone. These weak women outside the stone didn't know they were looking for death inside the stone. But inside the stone was life and power. And the power of the resurrection was not some angel coming down. The power of the resurrection was inside of Jesus by the word of God that cannot be contained. It will knock off anything the devil can do, the flesh can do, the world can do. I don't care what people have plotted and planned. You're a winner. You are successful because Jesus loves you. All things are working together for your good. Everything is working for your good. The problems, they're the best thing ever happened to you. Those problems can be turned to blessings. All the real wealth of this world comes from learning to turn problems, crises, difficulties into solutions. That's what you're for. Seek God. Hey, God, I'm hearing it's looking real bad. What do we do here? You know, and God has a solution. Just praise me. And while you're praising him, you are learning that the hand of God is with you at all times. Everything that's ever happened to you in your life has been designed by God. It's been approved, pre-approved. Yeah, that'll be okay. Well, but what about I screwed up so many times? No problem. All your screw-ups don't make any difference to God. This is the last word. What raised Jesus from the dead? Was it Jesus' inner power? No. It was God's prior plan. God has a plan for your life, and it's always a plan for blessing. It's always a plan for blessing. And the reason you worship him is because there's nothing to do, because God has done it all. The only reason you worship him is not, you know, you're really pleasing him if you do it. No. The reason you're doing it is because you don't have to please him. You don't have to do anything because he's done it all. And you're dead. And you don't care. You trust him because his word and his presence is with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. So don't worry about devils. Don't worry about, you know, other people. Don't worry about your own sins. Don't worry about all that. When I say don't worry about it, I mean it's there, of course. But let him burn it. Let him fix it. Let him deal with it. Whatever it takes, just pray this prayer. God, whatever it takes, let it happen. The sooner the better. Let's get all my problems over with, you know, now. How many will pray that prayer? Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Hasten it. Turn up the heat. You know, because you're only losing cancer. You're only losing something terrible, negative. Learn to rejoice in the problem, in the trouble. And you know what? Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Woohoo! Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. And I've got to go to Fort Worth or my wife's going to shoot me. Love y'all. Where's Chad or somebody? There we are.
I have a testimony.
Give your testimony.
At the disciples, who do you want to marry? Peter that cut off somebody's ear? Thomas that said, I won't even believe it till I see it in his hands myself. All 11 of them were sitting there after he came back from the dead, and he said, all of you are doubters. And then we think we want to marry somebody that's a big powerhouse that has it all, and we forget that they're just like us. And it's that power of God that raised Jesus from the dead that alters them, alters us, rearranges us, and we're not ever perfect. We don't ever make it. We just left. We don't arrive. And praise God, we can love each other then just the way we are. And saints, we just need to go out and love all those unlovable people. When I began to love my husband, everybody else loved him. I was the blind one. I couldn't see his virtues because I was looking at my own inadequacy, my failings, what I wanted. Him, me. What was he going to do for me? When I forgot about that and looked at him, he was wonderful. He was imperfect, just like me. Man, we were both two messed up people. And yet we got together and we lived 45 years together. And the last years were better than all the rest of them. And I'm still blessed because I have three fabulous children and three wonderful fun-in-laws and seven fabulous, smart, outstanding, intelligent, capable, wonderful, perfect grandchildren.
Who else wants to testify? Who else wants to testify? Yes, Jack. Dan. Pick this. Better speak.
Since November, it's been like I've been in the fire every day since November 4th. And every day I would praise God, but it would get harder and harder, and I kept trying to do it on my own. And then Thursday, I got a really, really bad letter, and I was sick, and also was having it work, and everything else was culminating, and I just like, you know what? I went home and I just gave up, and I said, you know what? I give up. I can't do it, and I'm not strong. And I choose you, and I love you, And then Friday I got another letter that was worse than the one I got on Thursday. And I went, you know what? Praise God. And my mom was like, you're not upset? And I was like, what am I going to be upset about? It's going to be okay. And then yesterday I hung out with my friends, and my friends were looking at me, and they were like, who are you? I haven't seen you since last summer. I don't know who you are. They were like, you're so happy. And I needed this today because it just confirms that it's exactly what you need to do. Like, you go through the fire, and you go through the fire, and you go through the fire. And you just give it up and let it happen, and don't worry about it because it's all going to work out. And it may not be worked out right now, but it's going to. And praise God, because at the other side, I'm going to be so much better. I'm going to love Him so much more.
Anybody else? Okay. Well, let's sing.